Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
Luke chapter 21, Jesus is answering some of the questions of the disciples, kind of like it was there in Matthew when he was talking about what are the signs of the ends of the time and all the what's going to happen in the last days and what's the signs of the ends of the time. That eclipse was a last day sign for sure. I mean, it's everything about it was very unique. You can relate it back to different events that have happened, that things like that have happened before, and the unique things around it that happened. But it is a sign. God said there would be signs in the sky, and it's just another sign or a signal that we are in those last days. Now it says in verse 36. This is interesting. He's speaking here in Luke to the Jewish people, to the disciples who are all Jewish, and he's talking to them about the last days. He's talking to them about the end times, and he's discussing and he's answering the questions that they ask. But at this last scripture here that's in red in my Bible that Jesus is speaking, he says, "Watch ye," everybody say, "Watch ye," "and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Amen? Now, you know, this being made worthy or the worthiness of being counted worthy to escape, to get out of all of this. Now, in reality, what he's talking about here is literally he talked about everything that's preceding the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So all this stuff, you know, we've heard Joe Morris and other teachers on the end times talk about how all of these signs and signals and all of this, that they are preempting the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, which the last real sign that will happen on the earth while we're here of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the last sign will be the rapture. Amen. So all of the other things that need to be fulfilled are being fulfilled. In the midst of that, we're called to live for God. Wow. We're called to live righteous. We're called to live holy. We're called to walk outside the narratives, a lot of the crazy political and social narratives. A lot of the governments are projecting and telegraphing. I mean, there's some crazy stuff going on out there. But then notice this scripture, though. It's very unique. It says, "Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape." So he's talking to people that are going to escape all of this. He's not talking to people that are going to go through all of this. Now, what he's talking about is escaping everything that he just talked about. Getting out of here. Everybody say, getting out of here. And listen, that's literally what the church is destined. The last great promise of God fulfilled for the church is the rapture of the church. The church being caught up into the clouds with the Lord Jesus Christ, with our loved ones that have gone before us. Their spirits will come back out of heaven, re-enter into their bodies. They will come up out of the graves. We'll go up to heaven with them. And the Bible says, forever be with the Lord. Amen. Well, that's very comforting. The Bible said we should comfort each other with these words. You know, we should always be reminded, you know, the Lord is coming. You know, the Lord is coming. You know, the rapture could take place at any time. I can remember a day in which people talk like that. Amen. I mean, back in the 60s in 1967 when they retook Jerusalem, I can remember people talking like that. When Israel was made a nation in 1948, could you imagine what that must have been like, how people were talking about the fulfillment of Scripture in reality? The greatest fulfillment of Scripture since the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was the birth of the nation of Israel, a total impossibility. A total impossibility for that to happen. And in one day it happened. And in one day it happened. And then the retaking of Jerusalem, that's another. But you know, the Bible says that's not the first sign of the last days or the scoffers. Of everybody saying, well, it's not, or you never know, or these things have happened before. Have you ever noticed people that scoff are never very, they're never very energetic about the things of God. They don't have a lot of zeal for the things of God. They don't realize how short the time may be. That's why we're believing God that people will wake up. That they'll wake up, amen. Because there's much that we're doing that's preparatory, our school of the Spirit. Look, the ulterior motive of the school of the Spirit is to raise up intercessors. You say, what do you mean? To increase the crowd of people that see it necessary to pray and intercede at least once a week as a church back in the back there, because I'm guaranteed that's what keeps us, that's what keeps our head above water. I don't know what's going to happen to churches that aren't praying. I can't tell you. I don't know. But I know that what will happen to the ones that do, they'll find the will of God. And all these other signs, you know, the 7-year tribulation is a horrible time. You know, if you study the book of Revelation, and I've read it, and I've read books, you know, the late great Planet Earth, some of the other books that were written about what will happen during that time. But listen, it's a horrible, horrible time in which 21 major disasters will hit this earth. Amen? One third of the population of the planet of the earth will be killed in one day. How ugly is that? Amen? Then you know, we see what's going on. This is why you got to understand how close we are. We see what's going on now in Israel, and everybody's talking about the war and about this being this way. But listen, in reality, this war is going to go on. It's going to go to another level. They've just incited Iran. What will happen is war will be so horrible in Israel that they'll cry out for their Messiah. And he'll show up. Amen. And he'll say, peace, peace. I mean, don't be fooled, church. I mean, we're living in those days. It's amazing how close we are. But before he can be revealed, we're out of here. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. I said, before he can be revealed. Could you be one of the generation that does not taste death? Could you be one of the generation that does go up in the rapture? Could you be one of that generation that doesn't go to a funeral, that we don't have your funeral? Man, that's exciting. So all of the things, the scoffers, Israel, Jerusalem, the global evangelism that's going on, you say, what do you mean? The Bible says this gospel of the kingdom must be preached throughout the whole world. Then the end shall come. Well, it's being preached throughout the... I know some of the larger television ministries, Lakewood Church, Rod Parsley, there's several others. I know that Brother Hagee in San Antonio, on Sunday morning, many of them are reaching up to 130 to 140 nations. There's only 149. Every ethnic group of people, every group of people on the planet, there is some kind of attempt to get the gospel into them, into their nation, into their area in which they live. Even rejected and unreached people groups, there are people reaching them today. The gospel is being preached. World evangelism is taking place. Isn't that awesome? Man, that is so cool. We get to be a part of it. Knowledge has increased. They say that's another sign of the last days. Daniel talked about that. You know, in the Bible, they show us several things. They show us automobiles in the Bible. You go look in the Minor Prophet, I believe it's Nahum. You go look in Isaiah, you can see airplane flight, the birds around Jerusalem in the last days being the air. How would a prophet in Isaiah's day describe a jet airplane, an F-14? It would look like a bird to him, amen. Isaiah also described nuclear war. That literally in 1/1,000,000th of a second, men's tongues would cleave to their mouth. That happens in an atomic explosion when the mean temperature of the ground goes from whatever it is, 35 degrees to whatever it is, 100 degrees in the desert, goes from that to 150 million degrees in an atomic second. Oof. Amen. Well, all that's in the Word. All that's there. Now, go to the book of Philippians. With all of the big things, everybody say the big things. You know, you hear everything going on, you're thinking, man, all this stuff's going on, all these things are happening. But what about our lives? What about us? Amen? Remember this. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But you got to get saved as an individual. It's personal. Did you get that? It's personal with God, and it's personal with us also. Being born again, being filled with the Holy Ghost, living in the Word of God, preparing our hearts and our lives to watch and pray, and to be faithful, doing the things we're supposed to be doing when Jesus comes, so we can be counted worthy. How many want to be counted worthy? Amen. So notice this scripture here in Philippians chapter 1. It's an awesome prayer. I love it because I pray this prayer in coordination with the prayers in Colossians and the prayers in Ephesians. Now notice in verse 6. Let's just take verse 6 just for a moment. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he or God which hath begun a good work in you. How many agree that God has begun a good work in you? I mean, in these last days, God knows what it's going to take for us to make it. He knows what it's going to take for us to press in. And he knows what it's going to take for us to bring others with us. Amen. So he that is being confident of this very thing, that he or God, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defiance and confirmation of the gospel, you were all partakers of my grace. Everybody say, my grace. Now, Paul is saying this. He says, listen, I know what God can do in your life. And he's working in you. He's begun a good work, and he's going to perform it. He's going to do it. You stay with it. Stay with faith. Stay with prayer. Stay with the things of God. Stay with the church. Stay with it. Because, see, they thought they were in the last days as much as we were, as much as we are now. He's saying, stay with it. God's going to do it. God's going to do it. Not only that, your submission to my authority as apostle, your pastors, you're being carried along by the grace of the church. That's what he's talking about. That grace that comes upon the church so that the church can survive and thrive in these last days, that's the grace that's working in you. That's the good thing that's working in you. What? A greater measure or a greater dimension of God's grace, which God's grace is what? His ability working on our behalf in areas or things we cannot do anything about. Thank God for the grace of God. Now think of this. We've said this before. This is going to be, in the future of our lives, this is going to be a very major reality. We live in a 2,000-year dispensation called the acceptable year of the Lord. The prophet Isaiah saw it. He saw who would usher it in, and he saw who would close the door on it. Jesus himself, sitting in the seat of the Messiah in the synagogue, declared, I'm the one. He declared, I'm the one. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he is what? Anointed me. He began to declare, I'm the one. I'm the Messiah. I'm the one that is to come. When he did, he announced, I'm come to fulfill or to usher in the acceptable year of the Lord. And then Luke writes it like this. Then he closed the book. Because the other half of that prophecy was the day of the vengeance of our God. Now that's fixing to, that's coming. Like a freight train down a track. It's 7 years of Old Testament time that is owed to the nation of Israel. Oh boy. I said, oh boy. That's why it's going to be so radical. Why? They're going back to that Old Testament time and all the judgment that comes with it. Amen. But the good news is during that dispensation of the acceptable year of the Lord, every whosoever that would dare call upon the name of the Lord Jesus and receive that impartation of righteousness through the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, that individual, if they are to die on the earth, is assured of eternal life with God. They're joined one with God, become one with God through the new birth. And if we're on the earth, when Jesus returns for the church, then we will be of the company available to be caught up into the air. If we're wise enough to obey the word. Amen. Now notice, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ, and this I pray that your love, now notice this, that your love may abound yet more and more in all knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, this is a key, that you may be sincere and without offense. Everybody sincere and without offense. Till the day of Christ. Now notice, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Now, this is so cool because God is saying He has begun a good thing in you. And He is going to what? Perform. He watches over His what? Word to perform it. So He's planted something in you He desires to perform. Amen? Many times our problem is we have our own ideas. We have something in our soul, in our mind, or in our flesh that we think, well, this is it or that is it. But that's really not it. What is it is what God says is it. And if you'll make it your business to seek Him and not to seek what to do, that's where people get into trouble, is they begin to seek what to do before they seek Him. Where if you'll seek Him, you'll know what to do. That's what happened to them there in Acts chapter 13. When they gathered together there at Antioch, they sought God. The Bible says they ministered unto the Lord and they fasted. They didn't pray about who to go, where to go. They didn't pray about who to go. They didn't pray about what to do. They just ministered to the Lord and fasted. They got close to God. They got close to the Father. And the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. See, something had been working in them, and in the timing of God, God says, now's the time. Now's the time to launch them forth. Now's the time for them to go forth in the will of God, because the good thing that I started in them, I can now perform. Oh, come on, church. Some of you don't realize there's been a seed planted in you that God has nourished, He's rained on, and He's trying to get that seed to come up and come out of the good soil of your heart and produce a harvest for you and a harvest for those that are around you so they can do what the Scripture says, see the glory of God. How is the people that don't know God around you, how are they going to see God if they don't see Him in you? Now, they can hear God all day long, but they're looking for something. I said, they're looking for something. Now, real quick, how's my time? Oh, man, I'm doing so good. Go to Thessalonians. I'm going to try this. I don't like the word try. Because I've just been digging in this, and it's... Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's just trust the Holy Ghost here. Amen? Now, verse 3, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, that is, as it is meet or able, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity or the love of every one of you toward each other aboundeth. That sounds like a healthy church. That just described the healthy church right there, amen? So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. So right there it tells you that strong, healthy churches go through a lot of tribulation. Notice what it says. Tribulations and persecutions. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for what you suffer. Now hold on. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Do you see that? All right, stay with me. This is good stuff. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. See, there's your cross dispensation taking place right there. That know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Now let me read this in the Passion. Maybe you'll get this. I've been looking at this, meditating on this. Everybody say, God has begun a work in me and He's going to perform it. Amen? Say that again. He's going to perform it. Let me read it here. Let me get it in this Passion Bible here. We have every reason to do so. Well, let's go up here. Verse 3. We feel a personal responsibility to continually be thanking God for you, our spiritual family, every time we pray. And we have every reason to do so because your faith is growing marvelously beyond measure. The unselfish love each of you share for one another is increasing and overflowing. We point to you as an example of unwavering faith for all the churches of God. Now, you don't realize how much of an example this church is all over the world. People talk about Island Church, how Island Church is not a big church, but of an effective church, how it reaches the nation, how it has awesome conferences, how the Spirit of God moves, how the Word of God is taught. See, that's to the glory of you. That's to the glory of what God is doing here. God is glorified corporately. Amen? Now notice what it says. It says, we point to you as an example of unwavering faith for all the churches of God. We boast about how you continue to demonstrate unflinching endurance through all the persecutions and painful trials you are experiencing. All of this proves that God's judgment is always perfect and is intended to make you worthy of inheriting the kingdom of God, which is why you are going through these troubles. Do you understand that? As you walk on the earth, there is a resistance to who you are, so you will not do who you are. Because if you ever figure out who you are, you're going to do some things. Amen? Now notice, let me find it here. All this proves that God's judgment is always perfect and is intended to make you worthy of inheriting the kingdom of God, which is why you are going through these troubles. It is right and just for God to trouble your troublers and to give rest to the troubled. You have to understand. You say, Pastor, I'm telling you, the devil's been tormenting my mind. The devil is going to be troubled by your God. If you will allow that, if you will say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I resist these thoughts that are tormenting my mind, God releases His power to trouble your adversary and pulls you into rest from your trouble. Don't let what you're going through wear you out. That sign you're going through it in your own power and your own ability. No, you got to go through it in supernatural power and supernatural ability. Oh, God is so good. Amen? I'm going to read that again. It is right and just for God to trouble your troublers and to give rest to the troubled, both to you and to us, at the unveiling of the Lord Jesus from heaven with His messengers of power within a flame of fire. He will bring perfect and full justice to those who don't know God and on those who refuse to embrace the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will suffer the penalty of eternal destruction, banished from the Lord's presence and from the manifestation of His glorious power. This will happen on the day when He glorifies His holy ones, plural. And they will be marveled at among all believers, including you, since in fact you believed our message. He's saying, man, you believe the right thing. You got that in Christ stuff. You got that faith stuff. You got that stuff on the gifts of the Spirit. You believe that. You added it to your life. We go over to Philippians. God is working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And then we bounce back to Luke. And Jesus Himself says, make sure that's what you're doing so you will be counted worthy to what? I fly away, oh glory. Amen. This is what gets you there. You know, this being your life and everything else revolving around this, you say what? Serving God, knowing God, seeking God. That is the rest that God wants you to fall into. You know, that level of anxiety, panic, fear, depression. I mean, you can start coming up with all of the words that have to do with the mental state of man's soul. And I guarantee you, we're in a very, very negative place. One of the things that I marvel at is how the Lord spoke to us this past summer and said that men will begin to initiate things and quickly lose control of it. We see so much of that happening. And so in this day and hour, we have to be on our guard and in prayer and in intercession to be what? To be part of that which God puts His hand of grace on, that in these last days when everybody says, you can't come to church anymore. Well, what if your church is still having church? Amen? You say, well, I'll be there. You better have some grace. I said, you better have some grace. There better be some grace there. There better be some grace working there. When you start defying the laws of the land, when you start bucking against the status quo, when you start saying, nah, you know, you can keep the liquor stores open and the strip clubs open, but you're trying to close our church, we're not standing for it. When you make a stand of faith, you have to know that there is a grace on you in order to make that stand of faith so you don't make it presumptuously and end up looking stupid. Amen. But I'm telling you, God didn't call the church to be shut down in the last days. He called the church to be glorious. I said, He called the church to be glorious. In order for the church to be glorious, He's going to have to make you glorious. You say, why? Because without you, there's no church. And when God starts glorifying the people in the church gets glorified, and that comes through our faithfulness to Him, our boldness in the Word of God, our courage and willingness to stand against whatever attack the enemy is trying to push against us, and then to seek those what? Those places in God that just release you into refreshing blessing. We were down in Nicaragua. We had been doing some meetings down there, and I'd gone down there by myself. And the pastor of the church and I went to the beach to surf a couple of days, and it was just this huge mass of water just coming on the beach, you know. And right beyond were these two sandbars where you could see out there the waves looked real nice. Looked like a good place to go surf. So I tried to get out. And I'd paddle, and man, that wave would suck up high as that ceiling. Bam, bounce me back on the ground. I tried 27 times to get out. And listen, I tell you, it wears you out after the first one. You get banged one time. I tried the 27th time, I got sucked over to a little, remember that little stream island that used to come out right there? That sucked me over to that little stream, and it was like I was on an escalator. It took me right out. Right out into what we call the wave field was. And I went, oh my God. So every time I got washed in, I knew right where to go to get right back out. There was all this resistance, and I could not see that with my natural eye. Once I was in it, I could see, this water's going that way, this water's coming this way. It's got to have some place to come out. That's where it was coming out. And every time, that's where I'd go, it'd take me right back out. Now, life can be like that. Serving God can be like that. It may take you 27 times to try to get out in that healing power. And I tell you, every time is worth it if that 27th time you find that little stream that takes you right out. That's what a lot of people do. I mean, they bounce up against one or two, and they think, well, I don't have any strength, or I can't do that. Well, listen, how bad do you want to be out there? I mean, I had to surf in Galveston for a lot of years. I saw that. That was the Pacific Ocean, big old blue waves. I went out there, and it was as beautiful as it looked, but I had to pay a price. Amen? But I like those little streams that take us when all the pressure of life and all the, you know, all is mounting up on us, then we come to church and the Spirit of God just comes in. Just comes in. Amen. And next thing you know, it's a spirit of refreshing in the house. And people start getting refreshed by the Spirit of God. People begin to realize, man, God's working in me. He is faithful. He's not going to let me out of His hands. I may be in the last days. It may be perilous times. There may be all kinds of signs in the sky. There may be all kinds of signs and indications that at any moment this thing could pop. Thank God I am who I am. I know what I know, and I know where I'm going. I can rest in that. Can you rest in that? Amen. Where's Brother Frank? Is he still in here? There he is. Wake him up over there. Send him to the keyboard. Lift your hands and worship God. Father, we worship You. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Let me read these last verses here. Verse 11, 2 Thessalonians in the Passion Bible. Verse 11, that's chapter 1. With this in mind, everything that he just said, we constantly pray that our God will empower you to live worthy of all that he has invited you to experience. And we pray that by his power and all the pleasures of goodness and the works inspired by faith would fill you completely. By doing this, the name of the Lord Jesus will be glorified in you, and you will be glorified in him. By the marvelous, here we go, grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a grace. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just got to lift your hands up into that grace. Thank you, Father, for that grace. Thank you for that grace that lifts the burden, lifts the heavy load, that brings refreshing from the presence of our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That destroys the yoke. That destroys the yoke. That manifests the glory. That manifests the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, just take a moment and worship him, church. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, you know, in my spirit, then from what I hear from others, this should be a time for every believer to do a whole lot of self-examination and to literally go through a season of repentance. Not just, you know, sometimes people think, well, I just, you know, ask God to forgive me for what I know I blew that. No, no. You seek God. Remember how David prayed in the Psalms? Search me, search my heart, see if there be any wicked way in me. Sometimes we got to ask God to search us. Search us. Because, you know, it's so easy to slip back over into ego, ambition. It's easy to get frustrated, to get in fear, to get in doubt. Amen? But thank God, he always comes and reassures us. The anointing of God breaks the yoke of any bondage the enemy. But listen, there is an onslaught of hell that's hitting people right now that if you'll just rest in him and realize you're prepared for this. But see, most of it's happening right now in the realm of the mind because of this avalanche of information beginning to be generated from just about every corner of the earth. And for everything that happened today, it's exacerbated tomorrow and multiplied. It's not added to, it's multiplied. You can't keep up with it if you try. And it's frustrating to try and figure it out, other than to know we're entering back into the sovereign days of God, in which he begins to do things like put hooks in nations, draw them to different places. He begins to do things like manipulate governments and do things in governments so that he can get his will done on the earth. A lot of people don't understand that right now. And a lot of us, you know, what we tend to do is we look at the surface and we think, well, you know, this is going on and that's going on and this isn't right and this is. But really, there's a bigger picture of everything that's going on, especially if we are truly approaching the end of a dispensation. We would only be, listen, church, we would only be one of six generations ever lived upon this earth to be in the change of a dispensation. We were only one of six that experienced the change of a millennium. Now think about that. Only six other generations of people experienced the change of a millennium. But we were there when we went from 1999 to 2000. Amen. So here we are. Here we are. And these are, listen, for the church, these are days of joy upon the earth. You say, why? We're fixing to see Jesus. As close as he is to us, we're fixing to see him with our eyes. We're fixing to handle him with our hands. The one that died for us. The one that rose from the dead for us. The one that's seated at the right hand of the Father. I think he's sitting on the edge of his seat right now, just looking at the Father. Waiting for the Father to say, go get him. That's enough. That's enough. That's enough. That's enough. Go and get them. And to the devil, he's going to be saying this, time's up. Time's up. So we live in the pressure cooker of those days. A lot of people don't understand why they feel the way they do. It's because of what's going on in the spirit realm. There's a fight for their soul. There's no fight for God to have some supreme victory upon the earth. He's already got that. There's no fight for the devil to be defeated. No, he's already defeated and under our feet and every demon power with him. What is the fight? For the souls of men and women that are so precious to God that he sent his son Jesus to die for them. And so precious to God that he would raise up people like us to go tell the message that God loves you and God cares about you. Wow, what days we're living in. How awesome. Praise God. We still hadn't got a Dairy Queen yet, but I saw a sign in the sky. Lift your hands one more time. Father, we worship you. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for the days of heaven upon the earth. Thank you for the protection and safety your words afford us. Thank you for the sobriety that our day demands. Thank you for the faith that your word imparts. Thank you for the spirit that abides and empowers. Thank you for the callings and destinies of God that they will not be taken lightly. Thank you for the longevity of your word in our lives. Thank you for seed time and harvest. Thank you for the precious fruit of the earth. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the authority that you give us in Christ Jesus. Thank you for the power in the name. Thank you that he got it through conquest. He inherited it, had it conferred upon him. But we thank you, Father, that through that inheritance, we have become heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Thank you that we're risen with him and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Thank you that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the earth. Thank you, Lord God, that you love us, that you care for us, that you have great compassion toward us, that where our faith is in operation, your grace is strong, and where we make mistakes, your mercies are new every morning. Search our hearts, O Lord. Search our hearts, O Lord. Search our hearts, O Lord. Search our hearts. Let us be clean. Let the fuller soap, let the word, let the fuller soap of the word cleanse our soul, our minds, the way we think, our emotions, the way we feel, our choices, our will. Not our wills, but your be done. Thank you as we leave tonight. Psalms 91 is in operation and manifestation. No evil befalls us, no plague comes nigh us. Angels, angels have charge over us. Thank you, Father. 1,000 could fall at our side, 10,000 at our right hand. Thank you, Spirit of God, in us. You are our helper, our comforter, our strength, and our standby, our guide, and our intercessor. Thank you for guiding us. Every person in the path they should go. Every road we should take. Everything we should do. Thank you. You are the voice speaking in us. This is the way. Walk ye in. Thank you for your direction. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you. We do not take it lightly. Bless our teachers, our students, our contractors, our businessmen, those that work in the workplace, every person here at Island Church that names the name of the Lord Jesus, and those that concern us, and those that are in our care. We surround with faith and love and declare your divine protection in every place we go and everything that we do. Thank you for our hearts being stirred, Lord, a heart of evangelism on the inside, where every day, Father, our witness is strong. And we're ever sensitive to those that are around us, that it may be their time to enter into life and depart from death, to enter into light and depart from darkness. We stand against the darkness, trying to come against Galveston Island and Galveston County. This is our ground. This is our area. This is where you put us, Lord. So we stand against the darkness. And Father, we begin now. We begin now to declare over the Gulf of Mexico, over all the areas, Lord, that concern the formation of storms. Lord, we've already prayed and declared that we'll pray one time. But Father, we reinforce and rehearse that unto you tonight. For they have upped the ante and increased the threat. Therefore, we up our faith and increase our expectancy. Thank you, Father, that they will be shown as not to have the wisdom of God, the knowledge of man, but not the wisdom of God. Thank you for it, Father. Lord, as we leave today, thank you that we rise above the chatter and the noise of this wicked world and its system. And we rise above into the glory of the heavenlies and your voice and the quietness that faith produces in our spirit man. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for your love, your compassion, and your mercy toward us. We love you so much. Thank you for our church. We do obey your scriptures, and we walk in love toward our brothers and sisters, looking out for them, making intercession on their behalf, speaking the word of faith and the authority of the believer on their behalf. Lord, as we leave tonight, we walk in faith and love toward you. We walk in love toward one another. We leave as the ambassadors of Christ you've called us to be. Thanking you, Lord, here at Island Church, we are covered by the blood, empowered by the word, and anointed by the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com.
Hallelujah, Jesus.